have been elected to serve as leaders in Rockwood United Methodist Church and have declared your willingness to serve. Do you accept the responsibilities of the office into which you're being installed? And do you promise to faithfully and efficiently discharge your duties? If so, answer, I do. Will you seek to maintain a relationship of Christian love toward those with whom you serve, so the bond of love and fellowship throughout the church will be strengthened? If so, answer, I will. Will you live your day-to-day life in such a way as to honor God and God's church with your service, conduct, and attitude? If so, answer, I will. Now, here's where we call in reinforcements for you all, okay? To the congregation, the responsibility these leaders are called to assume cannot be discharged by them alone. They have promised to give their best in God's service with God's help, but their best efforts will fail unless they have the full support and cooperation of the congregation. Those of you back here in the pews, do each of you acknowledge and receive these as your duly elected officers? If so, answer, we do. Will you now stand and in doing so, promise your support, encouragement, and prayers for them as they seek to do God's work and will in God's way through their elected office? Repeat with me, please. We pledge to work together with these, our brothers and sisters in Christ, to build God's kingdom. We promise our cooperation, our encouragement, and our prayers. The congregation may now be seated. Now, to those of you up front this morning, as your pastor and co-laborer, I now affirm each of you to be duly installed in your respective offices. May God's Holy Spirit empower you to do God's work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for this group standing before us. For those who aren't able to be here this morning, we pray now that you would anoint them with the presence and power of your Holy Spirit for the job to which they've been elected. Use them effectively as builders of your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. You may be seated.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
May be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? We had quite a severe accident right out here Friday evening, and we need to remember those folk in our prayers. Many lives have been touched by that. We need to remember them. We need to remember all of those today, some of whom don't have utilities on. Many of them are living in substandard housing without proper insulation. Many of them aren't able to get out of their homes at all right now. We need to remember them, and we need to reach out to them in any way that we can. Any others?
Linda Thomas.
Oh, yes. Linda Thomas, I know, would appreciate, Linda Thompson would appreciate our prayers right now. She didn't get a good diagnosis from her MRI and is going to have to go through another round of chemo and radiation. I talked with her on the phone just the other night, and she was very upbeat about it. Tommy's having a rough time with it, but do remember Linda in your prayers. Pray for her daily. That God would continue to lift and strengthen her during this very difficult time. Any others? Jessica's father, remember him in your prayers, having some health issues. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Good to have Jerry back with us this morning. And we need to remember Abel this week too. He's getting old.
So is David.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your goodness, for your love, for your care. We thank you for 2017. For many last year, there were times when we just wondered if we're even going to make it through the new year, and here we are. There are many with cares and concerns about this year and things that are going to transpire or may not transpire. We just pray right now that you would assure our hearts of your presence, your strength, your watch care over each one of us. Remind us that there's nothing going to happen to us in 2017 that us and God together cannot handle. We pray today that you would be with Linda and all of those in our congregation, in our families, in our neighborhoods who are facing health issues. Lord, we know that you are the great physician. And right now, we entrust each one of these to your care. We pray that you'd be with those who are going through relationship issues. Sometimes the holidays are a very difficult time because families are separated by distance, by circumstances, by misunderstandings. We just pray now that your healing touch would be upon each one who needs a healing to a relationship. We pray today that you'd be with those who are going through financial hardships, lack of work, underemployed, financial shortfalls, whatever it may be. Remind us, Lord, that you love and care for us, that you know all of these things that concern us, that your word promises that we can cast all of our cares upon you because you do care for us. We pray today that you'd be with our troops all over the globe. Watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families, Lord. Lift them up. We pray today that you'd be with our leaders. Those who are currently in office, those who in just a couple of weeks will be in office, we pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to them, guide them and direct them all, Lord. Show them the things that you would have them to do to make this world all that you intended that it could be and should be. We pray now that you'd be with these new officers who have been installed at Rockwood United Methodist Church. Guide and direct them through this new year. May it not be just a matter of having our names on a list, but help each one of us that we might seek to find new ways to be about the building of your kingdom. New ways to share your loving grace. New ways to reach out and show people God's love and grace. Thank you, Lord, for this new year. Be with us now. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, you have blessed us so abundantly. We are so thankful. We pray now that you would bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who is unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we sing, "I Know Whom I Have Believed," page 5714, or on the screens.
Dear Lord, nor how
Reading this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1. All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God and his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you're trusting in him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we read our newspapers or as we watch the news on TV, there are many reasons why we could look toward the future with fear and trembling. But the truth is, when we get to talking about tomorrow, whether we're talking about the day after today or all of the days that we have left here on this earth, There is absolutely nothing, nothing including sickness, politics, death, or even the IRS, that can separate us from God's love, God's presence, and God's promises in our lives. And talk about fear and trembling and talking about the IRS. Now that we've turned the corner into a brand new year, we can start looking forward all over again to April 18th. Yes, tax day this year is again on April the 18th. And while we're on the unpleasant subject, have you ever noticed if you took the IRS and put it together, it spells theirs? And they've come out with a new tax form this year. It only has two lines. There's only one blank to fill in. First line, how much did you make last year? You fill in that amount. Second line simply says, send it all to us. A few years back, there were some 3,000 taxpayers who were notified by the IRS that they owed back taxes. The total for this select group of 3,000 or so was $300 million. Or $100,000 each. There's a lady in Columbus, Ohio, that received a tax bill stating that she owed back taxes in the amount of $270 billion. However, the government was understanding about it and told her that she could pay it in three installments of $90 billion each. Oh, don't you love it when you open the mailbox and there's a letter in there from them? Regardless, this morning, my friends, of the IRS, regardless of anything that goes on in Washington, D.C., regardless of the fact that tomorrow is Monday, or whatever else tomorrow or any or all of our tomorrows that we have left, regardless of what happens, we have the assurance that God is in control. God is with you and me every step of the way. Kifa Sempangi was a pastor in Uganda during one of the recent regimes there. He and his family barely escaped the brutal oppression and terror that ravaged their country. Eventually, they were able to flee. They ended up in the United States. A church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, adopted them and helped them adjust to their new lives in America. One day, his wife said, tomorrow, I must go and buy some school clothes for the children. And all of a sudden, they both looked at each other and tears started flowing down their cheeks. That was the first time in years, because of the constant threat of death and oppression that they had been under, that was the first time in years that either one of them had dared to use the word tomorrow. Their terrifying experiences had forced them to realize what is true for each one of us. We have no assurances about tomorrow, but we do have hope in Jesus Christ. Someone asked Martin Luther one time what he would do if he knew that the world was coming to an end tomorrow. He paused for only a second and he said, I think I would go out and plant an apple tree. He was trusting God's gracious, unmerited mercy. And he was going to go ahead and live life regardless. John Wesley was asked that same question one day. If tomorrow was the last day of your life, what would you do? John Wesley was the obsessive compulsive type. He replied, I would arise at 4 a.m. I would preach at 5 a.m. I'd visit the sick at 7 a.m. and go to communion at 8. Finally, the questioner realized that John Wesley was saying that even if tomorrow was his last day on earth, he would continue doing exactly as he had planned every single day. Because we believe, we can live in faith and hope now, trusting God for whatever the future may hold. Fiorello LaGuardia was the mayor of New York City during the Depression. He would ride on the fire trucks. He would take children from an orphanage to a baseball game. When the city newspapers went on strike, he would go on the radio and read the Sunday comics to the children. One cold winter night in 1935, Mayor LaGuardia turned up at night court. Night court that served one of the poorest wards in the city. He dismissed the judge for the evening. He took over the bench himself. After he had heard several cases, the next case was called, and an elderly lady in a very tattered old coat came forward. She was accused of stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted his family. Her daughter was sick, and the children were starving. The store owner from whom the loaf of bread had been stolen insisted on pressing charges. My store is in a bad neighborhood, Your Honor, he said. She's got to be punished in order to teach other people a lesson. The mayor turned to the elderly woman and said, the law makes no exception. You must be punished. $10 or 10 days in jail. And before he had even finished speaking, he reached in his pocket and pulled out a $10 bill. He said, here, I'm paying your fine. And he said, furthermore, I am going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents. For living in a city that forces someone to steal food to keep their grandchildren from starving. Bailiff, collect the fines. The next day, the New York Times reported that $47.50 was given to the bewildered old woman. It was given by the red-faced store owner, several dozen petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and police officers. And not only did they pay the fine, but they gave the mayor a standing ovation as they did. Folks, that's how it's going to be with God's world when God finally takes control. Just when it seems that all hope is lost and goodness and mercy will never win, the great judge will come to set things right, deciding for the hungry and the meek of the earth. Over in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, there's a promise for every person on the face of God's green earth as we go through perplexity and distress. It says, then look up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near. We all go through these dark nights of the soul when life seems filled with unbearable pain. Peter had such a night. His very best friend, whom he had denied three times, had been crucified. Peter's own heart was broken. He must have been thinking back to those days when he picked up his quill and began his letter with the words of our text today. Let me read it to you again. All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God in his mighty power will protect you until you receive this salvation because you're trusting him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. Let's take just a moment and look at four great truths that are open to us here just in verse 3 of this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. First, it mentions that we're offered a boundless mercy. Mercy is compassionate treatment for those who don't deserve it or can't afford it. You remember the two blind men in Jericho cried, "Have mercy on us, O Lord." Matthew 15, the Canaanite woman said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." The 10 lepers in Luke 17 cried, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The publican in Luke 18 said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Warren Wiersbe, in one of his books, put it this way. He said, "Grace is what God gives us that we don't deserve. Mercy is what God doesn't give us that we do deserve." A mother was visiting Napoleon on behalf of her condemned son. The emperor told her that her son had committed the same offense twice, and justice demanded the death penalty. "But sire," she pleaded, "I don't ask for justice, only mercy." "He doesn't deserve it," said Napoleon. The mother replied, "No, he doesn't. But if he did deserve it, it wouldn't be mercy." Napoleon granted her request and showed mercy. The second thing that God offers you and me to help us to face any tomorrow and all tomorrows is a gift of a new birth. All honor to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. A painter set up his easel on the sidewalks of Paris. He was going to paint a picture, and he had already decided on the title of it. The title for that painting was going to be Life. As he looked around, he saw the pigeons, he saw the tulips blooming along the Champs-Élysées. He saw the bustle of people on the street. And he put his brush to the canvas. But as the painting progressed, he noticed that it wasn't turning out right. The colors and the perspective were off. He looked at it, and with dissatisfaction, he took the painting off the easel and put it in the trash can. He got out another canvas and started a whole new work on life. This is what Jesus allows you and me to do when we're born again. We can start over with a new, clean, fresh life. The third thing that God gives us is a wonderful expectation. Some people go through life moping. Some are groping. Some are coping. But you and I, as children of God, we can respond to life with hoping. Not just an empty optimism, but grounded in the promises of God. As Christians, we can be optimistic about the here and now, and we can be excited about the by and by. Lyle Schaller, in his book, 44 Ways to Increase Church Attendance, suggests that for a church to grow, the members should reflect an attitude and live lives of hope. He says, perhaps the most common characteristic of churches that are attracting increasing numbers of people today is not where their minister is on the theological spectrum or their denominational affiliation, but on what the people hear and feel during the worship experience. People need a note of hope. Catherine and I can personally attest to the trauma, grief, and sorrow that comes from the death of a young person. Listen to this note of hope from such a time. Dear Ann Landers, the enclosed appeared in the Schenectady Gazette. It was written by a teenage boy who died from cancer. His parents were divorced, and he and his sisters were being raised by grandparents. Please try to find room for this farewell message in your column. We went to school with Kevin, and he was truly one in a million. Now, here's the note. A very special thank you. If I were back on Earth, I would want to express my thanks to the doctors and nurses at Ellis Hospital who attended me and made sure that I did not suffer unnecessary pain during my illness, to all my friends, my school friends, for your concern and kindness, for the many visits you made to the chapels and churches to pray for me, for the many hours you spent at the hospital helping to cheer me up and lift the spirits of my family, for the memorial services you held on the steps of Draper High School the day I left this earth, to all who came by the funeral home to pay their last respects. I stopped counting when the number reached 400. To all who sent cards and letters, they were so helpful. To my dear friends and neighbors who cooked all that delicious food and baked those wonderful pastries, your goodies just about covered every flat surface in our home. How I wish I could have tasted some of them. To the thoughtful friends, relatives, and neighbors who sent donations to charities in my name. And oh, those flowers, they were so beautiful. It was almost as if I were back in Hawaii again, a place I truly loved. Many of the plants and flowers are now in our home, being tenderly cared for by my grandmother. To those who made up the funeral procession, what a sight it was. Over 30 cars, one after the other, all with their lights on. What a great send-off. I loved it. To my family, Kelly, Celia, Gina and Katie, I'm proud to have been your one and only brother. I'm sorry I had to leave you, but I know you will all grow up to be good citizens and a credit to our grandparents. To Graham and Grandpa, thanks for everything. Too bad God called me just when I was reaching the age when I could have been of help to you. I realized a long time ago that you were exceptional people. I was a lucky guy to be your grandson. To all, this isn't the end. We will meet again. I'll be waiting when you arrive, and we'll take up where we left off. Kevin Dolan, 1964 to 1981. At the end of the column was this note from Ann Landers. Dear friends in Schenectady, thank you for sharing that extraordinary message. For those who may be wondering how Kevin knew the number of vehicles in their funeral procession, and that more than 400 passed his coffin, and other details, he wrote his farewell message several days before he died. He left blank spaces for his older sister to fill in after his death. Think about it. Do you and I have the kind of hope that will sustain us through all the frustrations and problems of life, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Could we write of our own faith and hope as we face our own funeral service? And finally, number four, the fourth thing we find in this verse 3 is that we serve a risen Savior. Verse 3 reminds us, now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Our burdens today are swallowed up by an empty tomb, and our tomorrows are as bright as the flash of his resurrection victory. Martin Luther was going through a time that was especially bleak. As he sat there at his desk, in the dust in one corner of the desk, his fingers traced the letters over and over again. Vivit, vivit, V-I-V-I-T. He lives. He lives. Because Christ lives, we can have a life that is forgiven, and we can have a life that is forever. We serve a risen Savior. Every one of his promises are true, even that one that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Even when we walk through the dark valleys of life and of death, he'll walk with us. We can know who holds tomorrow. God wants us to remember in this new year, on this day before Monday, as we face tax day, as we face whatever may lie ahead, that we can give all honor to God, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by his boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus rose from the dead. Heavenly Father, this morning, we don't know. We don't know what today holds, let alone tomorrow. There are many uncertainties ahead. There are people concerned with Washington, D.C. There are people concerned with their families, with the world situation, everything that's going on. We pray now that you would remind us that stuff has been going on in this world for eons and ages. But for the last 2,000 years, your children have been able to say, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance, for the hope, for the joy, for boundless grace that we can share. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes.
He lived and died to
And now with that song in your heart and with that blessed assurance, may you leave this place empowered in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to go out into an uncertain world, spreading the blessed hope. In Jesus' name, amen.